I spend a lot of time walking through woods, wooded areas, looking for just the right pieces. And I find the pieces that are broken down, that are very fragile, very brittle, because they're just so beautiful. And so I try to preserve that. And one way to do that is to cast them in bronze.
You said you like to go out and explore in places. And I was wondering if you would share with us, you know, what some of those places are that you go.
Well, I go to the ravine at the bottom of Briarcliff here a lot. And then usually friends who have farms allow me to come out and walk through their wooded areas. Usually they're with me and they have the chainsaw and saying, which one do you want? What part do you want? And so they get excited about it as well, I think.
So this is actually a second career for you. You did follow a slightly different track before entering arts full time.
Yes, right out of college, I graduated from Briarcliff with a teaching certificate. So I did teach 1 year, but then I got into more administrative work and did that for a number of years.
Yeah.
I started teaching as an adjunct faculty, which kind of got me very interested and excited about teaching again on the college university level. And when Bill Walu retired at Briarcliff, and he was my professor here, it created the opportunity for me to come back to Briarcliff and to teach. But it also meant that I had to get an MFA.
Mm-hmm.
And so the teaching and getting the MFA together is really kind of what started all of this.
Yeah.
And got me back in, working on a different level than I had been.
Yeah. And was Bill a mentor of yours when you were a student?
Yes. Bill was one of my professors. Marianne Lonergan was another. And both of them were my teachers, my mentors, and still good friends. It is true that I still am doing certain things, and I find myself asking the question, oh, what would Bill say, or what would Marianne say, or Christopher Meyer was my professor at USD, you know, what would he think, you know?
Uh-huh.
So it's like they're still on the shoulder, kind of guiding me in a certain way. And
well, how did your past experiences shape you as an artist, you know, kind of going down that winding path of, you know, not going into art right away, and how did that fit into your life when you were, you know, as you said, doing more of that administrative work? Did you still make time for it, or did it kind of fall by the wayside?
Well, first, my earliest memories, I was working in clay, playing in the dirt, you know. And originally, I thought I would go into teaching art in a high school elementary level. Wasn't so enamored with that, so I did go into a different route. But those positions all either had opportunities for me to be creative and expressive in the work, or I sought out other ways in order to do that. With the pottery, part of it was just accessibility of equipment. Once I had access to equipment again, I started creating a lot of pots. That's probably more what people recognize me for, is my work as a potter. So this work will be new for many people. I made a number of large orb shapes or stones out of clay.
Okay.
And then I have a series in the show called Scholar Rocks. And they are actually either wood pieces or cast bronze pieces, but they're based on the concept of the early Chinese scholar rocks, which were a very meditative stone that were collected, highly collectible, and placed in a key spot in a garden or in a room for beauty and meditation. But I still do the functional wares on at the same time. I still have that love and that need to make those, so.
And what is it about those that you just, you feel the need to keep making the more functional wares?
You know, I've made hundreds, if not thousands, of pots, and yet, yeah, I still have that need. I don't need any more pots, but you have that need to to keep creating. So,
do you think it kind of brings you back to childhood a little bit and playing in the dirt and just digging around and, you know, that constant creativity and exploring?
Yeah, I think there is that relationship. At times I think about that more than others. I wish that I had some of that playfulness in working with my clay and some of that spontaneity that you see in children's artwork. I could use some more of that. But it's also a time where you just have to clean your mind and put everything else aside. And if I'm not focused and centered when I sit down at the wheel, nothing happens or nothing good happens. So it's maybe a ritual and a cleansing process and part of that creative experience. Because once I sit down, then I lose all track of time. Kind of get in the zone.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, if you can find that place, then you know you've really found something.
Yes, I think so.
Is there anything that you're working on right now? I know you've been getting a lot of pieces ready for this show, or if you want to talk a little bit more about what it took to get everything ready for this show.
Well, this show really started with the application for the grant from the Iowa Arts Council. It was a proposal, and once that was accepted a year ago this time, then it's just been really focused on this a lot. And, you know, a lot of them are cast in bronze, so you have to work with time schedules of the foundries so that they have plenty of time to produce them. The clay pieces all have to be dried and fired and glazed and fired. And so there was a lot of process involved in this show.
The process of making art is kind of interesting to me. You know, I've heard other artists describe it as almost kind of a meditative process. And I was wondering, you know, if that resonates with you at all, or, you know, what do you think about when you're making your art?
Well, it is very meditative, and hopefully the finished pieces are meditative as well. But I spend a lot of time, you know, in the woods, in nature, looking for the right pieces to start with. And so there's something very quieting about that, and something, you know, that's certainly thought-provoking, that you're taking this element, I mean, this tree that had been alive and now it's in the death, dying process, or has, in most cases, usually died and now it's broken down by insects and nature. So that whole process is very contemplative for me. And in some ways, that's the work, is finding those right pieces to start with.
The stones that are made of clay kind of remind me of, I believe it was a Japanese garden in Portland or Seattle that I had been to, and it just kind of reminds me of, you know, they do like that raking in the in the sand, or I don't know if it's sand or like gravel, that sort of.
I like that you say that. I do think that even my pottery, but the sculpture as well, all has an Eastern influence in it. And whether it's that kind of quiet aspect of it or meditative aspect, or the fact that it all comes from nature. I mean, the clay is one of the basic elements, and they're all very humble materials. I mean, you're digging with dirt and with rotted wood. You can't get much more humble than that, I guess. And then it's exciting to bring them to a different life.
I've been talking to Jeff Baldus. He is a sculptor, potter, and associate professor of art at Briarcliff University. His first solo exhibition at the Sioux City Art Center is on display through September 5. It's called Of Sticks and Stones. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Ellie Carson.